Hi, this is Connie Hunter with Community Conversations, KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. Today we have two special guests in our conversation. That includes Tony Bowdy, who is our county VSO, and a real good friend of ours, Richard Donald, who is a veteran and a volunteer in our community. Thank you both for joining us. Say hi real quick.
Hi, Richard Donald here. Hello to the listening community.
Tony Bowdy, Kearney County Veteran Service Officer. How are you guys doing today?
You know what? I'm really excited about this because a couple times we've had to postpone. Once I had the flu and I can't remember the other time. So this has like been one of the most important things I've been waiting on doing. Tony, you want to just self-introduce and talk a little bit about your service and about what it is to be a County Veteran Service Officer?
Well, like I said, my name's Tony. First in 2000, 99 to 01, I went in the Air Force. After that, I had a short stay up in McGuire, New Jersey. Got out, ended up coming over to California. Found a California National Guard unit that was activating. And then we did some overseas time in Gitmo. And then I came back. I had actually got medically retired from the Army while I was in. I have a total of 7 years. I got medically retired due to my knee injury, and it's where I met our first VSO, Frank Van Meter, and he kind of changed my whole outlook on the VA, and that's kind of what got me interested in this position. And then shortly after Frank's passing, we had Kim, and again, met her, got me even more interested, and that's kind of how I got into this position. After meeting her, I applied for it, and I got it.
Yes, Richard Donald here again. And I'm a Navy Vietnam veteran, served with a CB unit overseas in Builders Corps, and discharged in late 1967, and I went to the Contra Costa County Veterans Office there in Richmond, California, and they set me up for Agent Orange screenings, and which I did with the Veterans Hospital in Martinez, Cal, and lived there in that area in California up until 1986, at which point I came into the Veterans Domiciliary in White City, Oregon, initially as a patient with some medical problems, and I was able to parlay that into a service job as a volunteer there at the domiciliary, and then ended up on the staff there, and retired from the VA in 2005. And then I came over here to the Brookings here. I had lived there in Medford area for 20 plus years, and I've lived in the Brookings area now for a year and a half, and the veterans community has really welcomed me in very good. I've been able to meet Tony here and go to the meetings and be on the board and everything, and it's been a good fit. I mean, I'm a retired senior citizen veteran, as are a large number, a large percentage of the people in this community. Thank you.
Veteran service officers are trained and accredited by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs to provide assistance to veterans, their dependents, and survivors. This includes not only applying for federal and state benefits, but also providing resources related to a lot of different areas. Tony, you want to just give us a real quick rundown and touch on a few bullet points about the kinds of things that you do?
Most common in this office, it seems like, is first and foremost, being a therapist, you know, listening to everybody with the day-to-day stuff that's going on, trying to maneuver through the systems, mostly deal with compensation and pension claims, a little bit of healthcare. Of course, the big one is the burial and survivor benefits. That's the most common right now due to we have such a large population of retirement community. And then probably daily, I'd say it seems like lately I've probably requested 10 to 15 DD-214s a week now, it seems like. Compensation. Compensation is due to a service-connected injury. Usually a veteran comes into the office and they talk about, for instance, they broke their hand in the service and they want to file a claim for it. And it's most commonly misunderstood that because they broke their hand, they think that they can get a compensation. Fortunately, that's not necessarily the truth. It's what is that broken hand causing today and how is it rendering them immobile? What conditions is it causing? So, for instance, if they had arthritis in their hand, then that would be the condition that we would be filing for due to the service-connected injury they sustained. And then on top of that, whether it was documented or not, that's the big one. A little bit of educational benefits occasionally in the office, but like I said, mostly compensation and burial benefits and requesting of documentation. A lot of times it's just being there to let the veteran or the widow talk to somebody and them understand and it resonate with them. So I'd say probably 50% of my job is listening.
And we were talking a little bit before we started recording about the service area, and you get calls outside of the area, so you don't serve 3,000 or 4,000 veterans. So you want to talk about that because I think that's a really important point.
Yeah, just like any other service officer, you can't file claims for veterans in other states necessarily, but doesn't mean that they don't get phone calls. I've had veterans from Yreka, California, all the way to Portland, Oregon, different states. I actually had one last year from Texas call me because he was getting ready to move here and he wanted to find out more about the benefits that we have to offer in such a rural area. And so I tried to explain it to the best of my ability. People call from Crescent City all the time finding out about healthcare or, you know, wanting to move to this area, what kind of benefits Oregon has to offer versus other states.
I think probably the bottom line is that the county VSO ensures a caring, compassionate, and safe environment for veterans and their families while building trust to meet their individual needs. And I took that directly out of the Curry County newsletter this winter publication because Tony Bowdy is the featured staff member. So if you'd like to go online and see Curry County Board of Commissioners and the winter newsletter, there's a wonderful article about Tony and also about some other things. And we'll talk about those in a minute, including a new Memorial Highway. But I want to ask Richard a question real quick. You came out to the January 15th VA Roseburg Healthcare System Stakeholders Meeting and was one of our speakers. Do you remember some of the wonderful things at that meeting that were said about Tony and his efforts at the as a county VSO officer?
I do. So many people talked about how Tony is there for them. They feel like they're talking to a human being that is listening and active. And it's so important. These veterans need to know that they're being heard and that their needs, that we're working on meeting their needs and that we have been there too. And that's, he mentioned therapy, and that's a big piece of that. Just being with the vets, letting them know that we're in their corner.
And I wanted to mention one more thing about Tony. His job doesn't stop at the office. He does a lot of community outreach and one-on-one meetings. So, Tony, you want to touch on a couple of those topics, the kinds of things that you do?
Well, just last month, we did the point-in-time count. It was the first ever that Curry County was involved in the homeless point-in-time count. And so for ORCA to be out there, they went out to make an accurate assessment of how many homeless people are in Curry County. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to make an accurate assessment of how many homeless veterans we have in our county. And the numbers were surprisingly low because the thought is if you're going to be homeless, majority of those people would be homeless. The real homeless would be homeless during the winter hours. So it wouldn't matter whether it's raining or it's 90 degrees and we got the Checo effect. So we went out and me and the lady from Berta Bali from Hudvash got in my truck and drove around and went through all the little homeless encampments that we knew of that had been brought to our attention by a local law enforcement and a veteran that had been homeless for a year that had lived as far as 7 miles up Snaketooth. So that's what we did, is we drove around and gave out sleeping bags and ponchos and day bags from Orca, because I wanted to find out how many really are in this community. And so that's one of the big things we did, and that also gave me the numbers for the stand down that we do this year. So that kind of gave me an accurate assessment of how many people we have and what is needed in our community.
So you said something that I'd really like to highlight, and that's a stand down. And I know we're hoping to have one. You want to tell us what a stand down is?
It's for everybody, but it's more targeted for the homeless veterans, but it's for any veteran and the public. Just to basically get knowledge and information out there in regards to medical and benefits that are available to them, housing information, programs that offer assistance. So that's what we want to do in this county, is get a stand down. And I don't actually know if there's ever been one per se done by our county by itself, but I know my predecessor Kim did one in Coos County with the Coos County VSO a couple years back. I'm looking at putting one together, a stand down slash more of a work employment information one, so that we can get not just housing for homeless, but possibly look at getting them some source of employment. Because even if you're homeless, you know, everybody wants to get a job and they want to work. Well, if you're homeless, how do you really get up off your feet? So that's one of the things that I want to be able to put together, is something where they could possibly get shelter and then get a job placement, even if it's temporary.
What I also learned about stand downs, I learned by going to a stand down that was held in Crescent City. Now, today, my tech guy extraordinaire is Jim Newman. I talk about Jim Newman from time to time because of his volunteer work with veterans, and he and I are associate BVA members. And a couple times I've gone out to the stand downs in Crescent Cities, and those were always very successful. So I appreciate having had the opportunity to go to a stand down, because can really see the services that are available. Because a stand down will have people there that you don't always see, like a veterans justice officer will be there. And you talked about having opportunities for hiring our heroes. There's always good information about resume writing and how to manage your finances and things like that that are not what you would normally consider stand down, but all of those things combined provide really a continuum of care. And the good news is veterans come in, they get serviced during that stand down almost immediately. Richard, have you ever had experience with a stand down?
Thank you. Thank you for asking. I remember my first one. It was the first stand down in Jackson County when I was working in the cemetery system there in White City, Eagle Point. And my job at that stand down was the shower coordinator. So I drove this van, and I'd take about 10, it was at the fairgrounds that year, and so I'd take about 10 veterans, men and women veterans, over to the domiciliary for showers, and that was my first one. I've been to some others when I was on the staff there, and one thing that happened, I remember one year, was that the veteran's dentist on the post was out there, and one day he pulled 73 teeth. Yeah. And another thing that was happening a lot at that time, a lot of the homeless veterans were able to access into the residential care treatment at the facility. So that brings them in off the streets and gives them a chance to regroup.
You know, I'm going back through the things that we had talked about earlier, and Tony, you don't sit in one office, do you?
No, I have three different offices. So Mondays and Fridays, I'm in Brookings' office from 8:30 to about 4:30. My lunch, it literally depends on my workload. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm in Gold Beach from 8:30 to 4:30 again. And then the second Wednesday of the month, I'm in Port Orford from about 10 o'clock till about 3 o'clock. And I'd eventually, depending on the workload in Port Orford, it will be going to 2 days a month, but it's just kind of a hit and miss. But one thing I do different from my predecessors is I prefer to have an appointment base to go through. That way I know I have a steady schedule. My predecessors would have it where you'd sign in on a sheet and it'd be first come, first serve. And I kind of think that's an inconvenience for veterans to get to sit out there. So I basically do it by appointment with everything. You can still walk in and I can still try to fit you into my schedule. But I solely do appointment-based appointments only.
What's really exciting is, for me, some of the things that are coming up, but before we get too far down the road, I want to make sure that we get your contact information, because Tony Vowdy serves all veterans. He honors all who served, and his contact information is Tony?
So my email is my last name, so it's Vowdy A, which is Victor Oscar Uniform Delta Yankee, first initial of my first name, A, at co.curry, which is double R, dot O-R, dot U-S. My phone number is 541-247-3205, and my fax is 541-247-2713.
And if a veteran has never gotten their benefits before, what do they do?
Contact me.
And you'll help them fill out the paperwork and get them going to receive their benefits. So once they've applied for their benefits, their paperwork goes to the Veterans Benefits Administration.
In Portland, yeah, ODVA. And then ODVA sends it to the federal system. And then usually right now, average claims are 120 days, as before with past predecessors, it used to be 180 days. We still have a traditional way if need be, but usually everything is an FDC claim, a fully developed claim, meaning when I submit the claim, everything's there that's needed. They don't need to request any more information.
So you have to help veterans navigate the many federal, state, and local resources and benefits available to them. When it's a specific question or the need to identify programs and benefits for which a veteran may be eligible, you stand by and help. You help them navigate that. Any question is an important question to you.
Right. And if I don't know, I'm not afraid to ask.
And how long does a VSO's training usually last? Because I know you had to go through a lot of training.
2 years. Every 2 years, you have to continue to your state or federal accreditation. And so I'm both nationally accredited and state accredited. So this year I won't be going to the national accreditation, but I'll go next year. And then, but every year you have to go to your state accreditation. So every other to nationals and every year to states.
Do you remember at the Board of Commissioners meeting the day that they actually hired you officially?
Yeah, you handed me a blue folder. You were sitting behind me and I still have it in my desk.
I was the only person in Curry County as a citizen to show up that day. Mm-hmm. But I know that you have made such an improvement in the services available to our veterans and the compliments. And I know you're like most veterans are, I don't need no stinking kudos, but you know what? You're going to get some anyway. The bottom line is I've heard you called the best VSO that this county has ever had, and that's from veterans in various conflict eras and veterans who were combat veterans and veterans who were support veterans. So thank you for that. And I just want you to know I was very excited once I understood your passion to have you on board at the county. And I can see the results and I can hear the results and I can see a change in our veterans when they talk about the county veteran service officer. And that's a hard thing to do because the VA has a lot of old baggage and they're cleaning that up. And I think with our new director of the VA healthcare system out of Roseburg, Director Douglas Paxton, and his chief of medical and mental health staff, they're phenomenal. And they come down for town hall meetings regularly, but they also talk the language and they walk the walk and talk the talk. But get the job done. And I feel exactly the same way about you, Tony. So I'm really grateful for you being here.
Thank you. Go ahead. No, I said thank you.
And Richard, of course, has experienced some special opportunities in this town, at, for example, being a member of Vietnam Veterans of America. But I see Tony come out sometimes to the veteran service organizations like VFW and VVA and support those organizations too. So we're talking about a person that really is where the rubber meets the road in favor and in honor of our veterans. So thank you, Tony. Richard, you want to tell us a good story and a bad story about your experiences with county VSO officers? And of course, the bad story won't be at all about Tony, because we know that doesn't happen.
I can think of a story, certainly, from my experience I talked about earlier with the Richmond VA and the Martinez Veterans Hospital there. And when I went in for that Agent Orange, there was a lot of conflict about Agent Orange. And, you know, Vietnam was still happening at the time. And so they had an interesting way of conducting their Agent Orange interviews. I called it Roto-Rooter, because I went in there two different times, and both times they checked me out for hemorrhoids, and they put me through the ringer, and that got my attention. So I tell that story, and eventually it all got sorted out, and I'm able to say that I was able to get a service connection. And the main thing is to just remember to be patient, that these things take time.
You know, we've talked a lot about a lot of things in community conversations, but never about hemorrhoids. So I'm just going to assume most of your troubles are behind you.
Yeah, sounds like it wasn't such a crappy experience after all.
So anyway, I want to go on to another subject, because Tony was kind enough to bring a map that talks and shows all the different memorial highways in Oregon, and Curry County is going to be having a new memorial highway. So I'm going to open that up and let Tony talk about that, because he's the man with the knowledge on that one.
So there was a gentleman, I don't know if I can necessarily say his name, but there's a gentleman by the first name of Dick. I'm not sure if he wants his information out there. But he was with the Bend Heroes organization, and he had first contacted me and Susan Brown, my liaison, approximately 2 months ago, and we've probably exchanged 20-plus emails, and it was in regards to a couple of the senators and legislation I've been together with making every highway in Oregon some sort of veteran memorial highway. And so 101 is designated the Persian Gulf Afghanistan Iraqi Veteran Memorial Highway. So we have two signs that are going to go up in Curry County. I haven't set the dates yet. I'm working that out with ODOT in regards to one sign going up in Port Orford and one sign going up in Harbor close to Chrissy Fields, approximately, I believe, 3 miles up from Chrissy Fields. And so we'll do an unveiling, and my hope is that when we do the unveiling of that sign, at the same time doing either the stand down or the job fair in cahoots with that unveiling of that sign. But every highway in Oregon, and from what I know, we're one of the only states to do this so far, has a highway dedicated to some veteran conflict. World War I veterans, they have U.S. Highway 395, World War II veterans, they have a historical highway 97 and State Road 126. Korean War Veteran Memorial Highway and Purple Heart is Interstate 5. And Vietnam era veterans, they have their highway, which is Interstate 84. And then now ours is Persian Gulf Afghanistan Iraqi Memorial Veteran Highway is 101. So I have a map of all the highways, and yep, we'll be putting in the signs hopefully within the next couple months when it gets a little bit warmer out. So we'll have a nice unveiling. I'm trying to get, we're going to have taps and color guard and we'll have a nice little gathering.
Let us know the exact dates, and we'll do, not today, but what, as you know, time goes on, and we'll make sure that we may likely be on the air by then, and make sure that we get that information out there. But mainly, I think what we need to say on behalf of veterans in Curry County and beyond, that we have services and support that are getting better and better and more efficient all the time, because Tony is a quality human being with a passion to serve. And really, veteran service officers are veterans who stand ready to help with veteran-related needs. And the veteran service offices have all the forms and other information a veteran may need to obtain service from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, as well as the forms for requesting state veterans benefits. The service officers also assist in finding the information and resources needed to solve service-related problems. And so, just wanted to thank you both for coming out today, and I'll let you each do a little wrap up. And you, if I've left anything out, just fill in the gaps, because I don't know everything. I'm not a veteran service officer. I'm not a veteran. I sure am proud of our veterans, and every minute of my life has been affected by a veteran status because my father was a World War II veteran. But you guys are the real deal, and I thank you for being here today. Richard, do you want to say one more thing before we sign off?
Thank you, Connie. Yeah. Thank you for asking. It's good to be here. Thought about a lot of things, a lot of experiences. Stuff that Tony talked about, the homeless thing and financial counseling needs to happen more. I would like to be a part of that and go to these homeless camps and see if we could take surplus lumber, recoverable supplies, and build those camps up and make it easier for the people who are in those dire straits that need to live there. That's one of my main concerns.
And the good news is we're working towards those kinds of things. Coming up in March, the League of Women Voters is going to have 3 forums on homelessness, and I'm actually coordinating those. So I want to make sure that we have good information on our veterans who are homeless. So maybe we can talk more later, Tony, about that, because you have some firsthand knowledge, and maybe one or two of those events, you could come out and join us and participate. Anyway, so if you were going to tell our veterans who aren't in the system the benefits of being in the system, what would you say to them?
You'd be crazy not to be in the system. All it takes is a little bit of time and some paperwork. So like I say, with anybody that applies for benefits, it's better odds in a casino. It's 1 in 2. So they're either going to say yes or they're going to say no. So why not waste a little time to find out if you got a chance, you know? Doesn't hurt. Doesn't take any time out of my day to do it.
And the bottom line is a VSO is a liaison for all veterans' issues. And so, again, can you just give us your phone number, Tony, to make sure we have it again?
541-247-3205.
And thank you both for coming out today. And thank you, Jim Newman, Tech Guy Extraordinaire. As always, you're appreciated. This is Connie Hunter, Curry Community Radio at KCIW, pretty soon to be on the air, and this is Community Conversations. Thank you both for your service, and thank you because I know everybody in this room continues to serve veterans on a daily basis.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider becoming a founding member. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.